This is episode number 123.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle. And sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 123 of Road Trekking, the RV lifestyle podcast. We're delighted you joined us, no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday. This show is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RVing lifestyle. So we welcome you. We're very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, this is episode 123 being released January 18, 2017. And this is a good show for you if you are making a plan to visit the number one destination when you do a survey on the bucket list of RVers. You know where it is. It's Alaska, that wilderness land of majestic mountains and spectacular scenery and wildlife and great adventure. I mean, every RVer needs to experience Alaska at least once. And in this episode of the Road Trekking RV Lifestyle Podcast, we are going to learn from perhaps the top expert when it comes to RVing to Alaska, author and full-time RVer Ron Jones. And Ron is going to dispel some myths that you have about Alaska. He's going to tell you some false notions that you probably have heard or picked up about Alaska. And he's going to replace them with solid, practical expert advice. And by the way, Ron says right now, this time of year, mid-January, is when you should start your active planning for an Alaska trip. Anyway, that's all coming up in our interview of the week section. You're going to enjoy this. Ron's a terrific interview, and he's got some great tips. And we got so much more. We got RV travel tips. We got tech trips. We got tips about pets. We've got RV news and, of course, some questions and comments in our RV calendar and all sorts of stuff. But right now, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, dear.
Hello, Michael.
Well, we're back in our Sticks and Bricks home in Michigan for what, 4 days?
Yeah, I got to get that Christmas tree down.
Yeah, we came home. We left Christmas Day for our trip down to the South and Florida, and we returned over the weekend. And the Christmas tree is still up. All the decorations are up. That's on Jennifer's agenda this week. And then we are taking off for our big winter campout at Tequamanon Falls in Michigan's Upper Peninsula.
I'm looking forward to that, but Bo is looking forward to it most of all.
Yeah, Bo did not like the hot weather in Florida, 75 degree weather down there. Although he was growing, he had some girlfriends at the dog park, so he had a good time.
He was kissing the ground when he got back to Michigan.
He really was happy to get back to the cold, wasn't he?
Sticks, everywhere you looked, he had sticks. It was cold. He loved it.
Yep, and he's going up to the cold. This is our largest group yet. It's the fourth January in a row now since you and I first went alone 1 year when it was 14 below zero or something when we were up there the first time.
It's going to be much warmer this year.
Yeah, it's going to be in the 30s, which is shirt sleeve weather for youpers up there in Michigan. And but last I checked, they had at least 30 inches of snow on the ground. They probably have picked up some since then. We're going to build an igloo, and Jan Seiner says he's going to sleep out in it.
Go, Jan.
Yeah, even his dog Gunner is staying home.
Gunner's not going north with him?
Gunner's not going to go north with him. Yeah. So, Gunner's Bo's buddy.
Yeah.
And Bo's looking forward to going. He doesn't know he's looking forward to going, but
he's
going to
like it.
He's going to like it. Yep. So, we're heading up. Actually, it doesn't start officially to Friday, but there's so many people now going, and so many people are so excited about it that most of them are going up Thursday night.
Sounds good to me.
So, we'll probably go up a little earlier as well. So we're looking forward to going up there, and then we'll have some fun.
If I can get the Christmas tree down, we can go up Wednesday.
Well, maybe we will. That sounds like an even better idea. This Alaska trip, we've been talking about it on and off here for months, and I'm so delighted we got Ron Jones to be our expert interview. You're going to like this when he talks about Alaska. You're going to get excited about it.
We've got a dog now that's barking that wants to come in.
No, the dog was just here a minute ago.
Maybe then he's barking to go out.
He's probably barking to go out, or he hears us mentioning his name. That's all right. He does that because you can't take him out right now. You've got work to do.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm
Here
ready.
You go.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
This tip comes by email from one of our listeners named Wendy, who came across an inexpensive little gadget that can help with staying clean and showering on camping trips and hikes. It's called the Simple Shower, and it is a specifically designed portable shower that attaches to just about any 1 or 2 liter bottle to convert them into a shower. That's right. It turns an empty water or soft drink bottle into a makeshift shower. We'll put a picture of it on the blog show notes and links to the product as well at roadtrekking.com/123. Here's how it works. Simply fill a plastic 1 or 2 liter bottle with warm water or leave the bottle in the sun to heat up, and attach the Simple Shower device in the open neck of the bottle for a quick and easy shower. It's ideal for backpacking, canoeing, kayaking, hunting, camping, emergencies, cleaning pets, washing utensils, at the beach, and anywhere else a steady stream flow shower can be used. A 2 liter bottle can hold pretty close to a half gallon of water, and the Simple Shower attachment pours it out in a nice stream, not all at once. And if you have a couple of them, you could even wash your hair. It costs just $12.99 on Amazon. Thanks, Wendy, for sending me that tip. And I invite all our listeners to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over and over as many times as you want until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email box. My email is jennifer@roadtrekking.com. I love hearing from you.
Well, Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, RadPowerBikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct to consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes. These electric bikes, you have to see to believe. They are absolutely gorgeous. These 3 e-bike models that Rad Power Bikes makes, they fit a wide variety of rider wants and needs. And so many RVers are going to e-bikes as their alternate form of transportation, particularly those who are in Class B or camper van types, or even those who are pulling little camper vans, little pop-ups. They love these e-bikes because you can use them for essential transportation. They even got one that is made for cargo. All 3 of these bikes can go 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. And they also give you the choice to ride either pedal-free with a throttle, or you can use 5 different levels of pedal assist and then pedal it yourself for that extra boost, or you can combine the two. They're really a lot of fun to ride, and they're perfect for people who want to get into riding. Maybe they're coming back to it. It's been a long time, or they're recovering from an injury or surgery, or just need that little extra boost to keep up with friends or family. You can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge, and they're priced at often less than half that of comparable bikes on the market. The only thing stronger than their customer service is their passion for electric bikes. You want to go to radpowerbikes.com, all one word, radpowerbikes.com. And listen, when you buy from radpowerbikes.com, you can get an extra $75 if you say Road Trekking at your checkout. If you use that that coupon code Road Trekking for an extra $75 off.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, Mike. My name is Janet Rice. I am looking for a very, very simple way to build a website. I would like to be able to put pictures on it and explain how I got started with a small history. If you could give me some ideas, I'd greatly appreciate it. I'm more afraid to build my own, so I'd like to know if there's somebody around that can build it for me and teach me how to make changes, add pictures, etc. I'd really, really appreciate any help you can possibly give me.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Jen. And there certainly are places that'll build one for you, and you can get them all cheap, and then they try to upsell you. And I mean, my advice is do it yourself. It is not that hard. So many people have done it. I will put a link on the show notes for this page about, I'll pick three or four really great sites that will help you understand what it is like, what kind of services that you can get for free or very close to free. You know, I'd start off by sending you to blogger.com. That is the site that Google maintains. It's a free blog service. And then there's Wix, W-I-X.com. Another cool website where you can build your own is Weebly, W-E-E-B-L-Y. And then there's a group called Blog Starting, all one word, blogstarting.org. So first I'd send you to look at all of these, and you'll see that they are so simple. They start with a template. In other words, somebody's already done that design work for you. And then you just say, well, I like the looks of that. And then you just click on that. It will install it for you. And then you follow the instructions. You basically fill in the blanks and to whatever it is you want to say. It's very simple for you to upload your photos. And then you have your own blog or web page. You can get as deeply involved in it as you want, but I really recommend people start off with one of these free services or one of these inexpensive template-based services, and then start putting up your photos and your little diary or whatever it is you want to talk about, your history, how you got started, I think you said. But you don't have to hire somebody to do it. You really don't. I mean, there are people who will do it from a few hundred dollars to a few thousand, but I just don't recommend doing that. I mean, if you have to have somebody build it and then go through all of that stuff, don't bother, because you're going to want to update this as you make trips or you do various things, you have new pictures, you're going to want to do this yourself. And it's not that hard. It's so simple now because it is template based. You know, there's a couple of different platforms out there that people use. Probably the one I use for road trekking is WordPress.com or WordPress.org, I guess, is the official name. You'll find it through that blog starting link I mentioned. And there's just literally thousands of themes or templates that you can choose. So you can pick the exact look you want, the exact color scheme. You basically click through and say, oh, I want that one. You click your mouse and that's what you get. And then it's all set. You just fill in the blanks. So it's really simple. And I don't want you to think it's overly complicated. Used to have to know things like HTML and coding, and not anymore. It's very simple. So I think you'll really have a ball if you start yourself out on a blog. It's a great way to share your life and your adventures. And well, you know, I've been doing it. I started my first blog, I think, in 1992. And then, I've had dozens of them over the years and still have several. And I love it. It's the way I keep in touch with so many people. And it's perfect for the RV life, to share your stuff with your friends, your family, other people you meet along the way. You'll have a ball doing it. So let me take away that fear. It's very simple. And if you go to the show notes for this episode, just scroll down to the listener questions of the week, and I'll put a link out to all of these different resources that I just mentioned that have free services or very inexpensive services that you can do yourself. So have fun. And when you get it up and running, send me a link. I'd love to see what it looks like. Okay, another big question that just came in.
Hi, we are interested in an e-trek. Do these RV and camping shows typically have e-treks for sale or an e-trek booth?
Well, e-trek is a model made by Road Trek Motorhomes. So you want to go to a show, an RV show, that has a dealer there or the representatives of the company itself that So the Road Trek is there. And I know where you can see one this weekend. That'll be at the Tampa RV Super Show down in Tampa, Florida. But I'm not sure what part of the country you're at. I have been doing an RV calendar here on the blog regularly. It's at the very end of the podcast, and you'll find it in the show notes. List all the RV shows. This is prime time for RV shows around the country. And so you can scroll down and find one near you. Now, there's 11 different models of Road Trek that are out there. So not necessarily, if it's a show that's a fairly small show and it's maybe the dealer that's bringing their info, they may not have all of them in. So you want to make sure, if you're interested in the E-Trek, that it's at that show. So I would suggest then you call the dealer itself and say, hey, do you have an E-Trek? Are you bringing one? And then you don't have to waste any time. Now, that said, the E-Trek looks inside pretty much identical to the RS Adventurous XL and to the CS Adventurous XL or even the regular RS, just the RS Adventurous or the CS Adventurous. I know all those words get a little bit confusing, but it's basically the Sprinter chassis. And there's slight differences on the interior in the E-Trek and the other models. The other models have a larger refrigerator than the E-Trek does, but the E-Trek has no propane. It is all electric. They all have solar. They all have that automatic starting system called Volt Start, and your dealer can walk you through a whole lot of that. But I know it's going to be at the Tampa show, which is one of the, if not the biggest, the second biggest RV show in the country. And there's lots of other RV shows all around the country right now, so you can find them right there. So there you go. Hey, we would love to get your questions on this part of the program. Here's how to do it.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question. Leave a comment. Look on the right side of Mike's RoadTrekking.com blog and click the Send Voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis, Missouri, and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you a large inventory of Class Bs in three different locations. Now, they're all owned by the same company, but they're in three locations. St. Louis, Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail is in Las Vegas. And if you are in the market for a Class B RV, you know they're in high demand, and that's why you will want to check in with these three dealers, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, and WagonTrailRV.com. They specialize in Class B RVs. They have them from all of the major manufacturers. They sell Road Treks and Pleasure Ways, leisure travel vans, Class Bs from other manufacturers, B Pluses, even some other smaller motorhomes. So visit them, VanCityRV.com, CrestonRV.com, WagonTrailRV.com. And here's what they've got going on this week. Here's Dan, the Van Man. Hey, Dan.
Thanks, Mike. Hey, we have some great deals on our new 2017 model Road Treks. We have the Road Trek Agile, the Road Trek RS Adventurous, and the Road Trek CS Adventurous on the 24-foot chassis with the Volt Start, the E-Options, loaded and ready to go. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com. And we'd like to invite everybody to come to the St. Louis RV Show and see all our models February 2nd through the 5th. You can get all details at STLRV.com.
They say every dog has its day. In this part of the podcast, it's time for tips, resources, and travel advice about bringing pets on our RV adventures.
We all know how important it is not to sit for long periods of time and on our long RV trips to get up and walk around. But, you know, it's just as important, if not more so, for our dogs. In fact, exercise is a necessity for maintaining a dog's optimal physical and mental well-being. As with people, obesity is becoming a major health problem in today's dogs. Between 20 and 40% of all dogs seen by veterinarians in the United States are considered overweight, and many are clinically obese. Obesity prevents dogs from enjoying many physical activities. It also decreases speed and stamina and makes it more difficult for dogs to deal with heat. Obesity is also associated with certain medical problems, including arthritic changes in overly burdened joints, increased risk of torn ligaments, back problems, cardiac problems, difficulty breathing, increased surgical risk, skin problems, whelping problems, and a possible increase in the risk of some cancers. So experts say that, like with people, your pet should be able to get out and move around frequently during the day as you travel. About every hour and a half, 2 hours is the longest you should go without a stretch and exercise break for you and your dog. Mike and I are big believers in leash-free dog parks for our Norwegian Elkhound, Bo. He runs and plays and gets rid of all that excess energy. Plus, he stays in great shape. Sometimes we've been known to take him to a park twice a day. A typical visit is a half hour to an hour. Bo loves it. And we also enjoy visiting with all the other pet owners and enjoying the fresh air, especially during the travel days. As we travel, we use a website called dogfriendly.com to locate those dog parks. They have the best list we've found. Just click on the state you're in, and it lists all the nearby parks. Again, the website is dogfriendly.com.
You know, it's a good thing that Bo is outside. You took him outside. He was barking earlier in the program, because if he'd heard you doing that segment, he would have started barking crazy, because you just say the word dog park. It's pretty funny.
Dog park and doggy daycare.
Yeah, and one other one. Now it's our new sponsor, Dozers. He knows what a dozer is.
I mean, what have we come to? Doggy daycare.
Doggy daycare, yeah. We'll have to do a tip on doggy daycare, because that is, we've found to be
we
really good.
We are so fortunate, because we have one just a couple miles from our house. It's expensive. But the woman there is just fantastic. I mean, she goes, shh, and they all stop barking, and she'll have 40 dogs there.
Do you ever notice that Bo, when you go, shh, doesn't stop barking?
Sometimes he does. My favorite thing with Bo is golden retrievers. You throw the ball, they bring it back. You throw the ball for Bo at a dog park, he runs as fast as he can. He gets to the ball, he stops, he looks at it. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't understand. He'll chase.
He doesn't know how to retrieve.
Okay, I like running part, but why? I think he just doesn't want to pick up that yucky ball that some golden retriever slobbered all over. You know, I don't know.
Well, he wants to be chased.
Yeah, but he loves dog parks, and we just can't speak highly enough of them. First of all, they socialize your dog, and on those long travel days, it is something pretty exciting.
And you always have to be aware, though. You always have to look and be alert for that maybe dog that's a rescue dog or a dog that isn't well adjusted.
A little aggressive.
And if you don't feel right about it, you leave.
Yep, and that's happened once in all of our times with a dog, but that's a really good point. All right, that's our dog tip for this week. And this section of the podcast is brought to you by Bo's other favorite thing, Dozers Dental Chews. Dozers, you spell it Dozers. And it is an all-natural and healthy treat that your dog will love. It's available directly through Amazon. And I'll have a link on the show notes page, which is roadtrekking.com/123. That's our episode number, 123. Now, let me tell you about dozers. We found dozers about a month or two ago, and it has become literally the favorite treat of Bo. And it's a treat that you can give him once a day and not worry about him having stuff that isn't good for him. It is 100% all-natural ingredients. It's gluten-free. I like the fact that it is made in the U.S. and why that's important is if you have followed a lot of the news, some of the treats that are manufactured overseas for dogs have been recalled because they've had very unhealthy things in them, or animals have become sick. That's why we like dozers. They're 100% natural, free, natural ingredients, no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no artificial preservatives. They clean your dog's teeth, reduce plaque as the dog chews. They taste good. I mean, literally, Bo loves these things. He eats them just as they are and chews on them. He's got sparkling white teeth. When you see Bo, if you see him as we travel around the country, you'll see exactly how clean they are. He's got, you know how ugly dog breath can be? He's got fresh breath. And we attribute so much of that to dozers. It's a nice soft chew. I mean, the chewed pieces easily mold and get in between his teeth, and more effectively than a hard chew, and they keep his teeth clean. They are really great. They're only $11.99 a bag. They come for, you get different for whatever size your dog is. That's the size that you'll order of the dozers. And again, you can look them up. Dozers Dental Chews on Amazon. You can find them there. $11.99 on Amazon. We'll put a link again on the show notes, roadtrekking.com/123. Or I tell you, you can just go directly to the dozer site. I have a link there. It's roadtrekking.com/dozers, D-O-Z-E-R-S.
Way up north to Alaska. Way up north to Alaska. North to Alaska. Go north.
Well, Alaska is the number one travel dream for many an RVer. It is the ultimate bucket list destination, and a lot of RVers who head up there make a lot of mistakes, or they have a lot of wrong notions about Alaska. And for one thing, they just don't do enough planning, and they often miss a lot of the things they should see because they get there and they don't have enough time because they didn't plan properly. Well, if you have Alaska on your RV bucket list, you're going to want to listen to this. My guest this week is Ron Jones, who probably knows more about RVing to Alaska than anyone else you can find. He has put on seminars all across America on RVing to Alaska. He's written a series of books on the topic. If you plan to go to Alaska, well, listen up to this interview. Well, to find out exactly when we should start planning to go to Alaska, what that planning should involve, and how long our trip should last, I have, I think, probably the top expert when it comes to traveling to Alaska in an RV. His name is Ron Jones. He's been RVing a long time. He started back in 1962. He is a full-timer, has been for about 15 years now, and they travel across the country, and he has been to Alaska, obviously, many times, has written, well, by my count, Ron, I see three books on RVing to Alaska. So you are my expert, and I'm glad that you're making some time for us today.
Well, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate that. We've certainly been active, I'll call it, with trips to Alaska. We've now been up there three full summers over in our RV, the same RV each time. And interestingly enough, we've been up there on four different cruises.
Well, I've been up there twice on cruises. I've never gone in an RV. I'm anxious to go. My wife says that's such a long drive, so I'm hoping I can convince her differently. It is a long drive, but I think the problem is, as I read some of your material, is so many people just go and they don't spend enough time.
Well, and that's, you're exactly right, and she is too. First of all, it's a long time. It's a long RV trip. As a matter of fact, I believe it's the longest RV trip that you can actually take. I even compared it with a trip we made to Newfoundland, and Alaska was just longer. And I have a little different philosophy on making long trips like that. And that is that since it's so far away, you have to plan for it and plan a chunk of time. My recommendation is always just set aside one summer to do it, 90 days, 3 months, and you've got time to get up there and back without the rushing, and you've got time to see just about everything in the state, and pull it off without rushing or fighting or having to leave too early and so forth. That's exactly what I have against the caravan. I'm not a caravan person for a trip like to Alaska because it's too far. Now, when I say that, I also have a real different, take on getting there and back. I'm a believer in that if we're going to go to Alaska, let's say we're going to go this summer, then wherever you start from, I believe you ought to just go on up there. Don't be a tourist heading up there. And what I mean by that is I talked to a large number of people who, for example, say, we're going to go to Alaska, but we're going to stop and visit Banff, the Jasper National Park up in Canada on the way up. And I say, don't do that. Just get to Alaska, because when you get to Alaska, you know, and if you just hate it, then turn around and come back. If you just love it, what you want is you want maximum time in the farthest destination on your trip. And that way, if you love it, you can stay there longer. You could visit Banff and Jasper on the way back, or if you come back too late to do that, you can even make the return trip up to Banff-Jasper, because that's much easier than getting back to Alaska. So no messing around on the way up. Mess around all you want on the way back.
All right. Now let's talk about the planning part of it. You know, in my first year of RVing about 5 years ago, I was at one of the big Family Motor Coach Association meetings, and they had a session on Alaska. And I listened to all the things, you know, like you got to wrap your headlights to prevent damage and ruptured radiators and all this. And I said, oh, my goodness, how much of that is necessary these days in terms of protecting your vehicle? And how much planning? When should the planning start? I know you're an advocate of start right now, about this time of year, in you know, the first couple months of the year, get that planning done. So help us understand that. What do we need to plan for, other than just getting there?
Well, I'll take the second part of that first. When do you start planning? Again, you're right on. I'm an advocate of starting now, just after Christmas. I mean, you're through with the holidays. You're thinking about the summer. You need to. There's an old adage for this trip, and that is, it's keyed on the city of White Horse, which is in the Yukon. And White Horse is about two-thirds of the way up. And the adage is this: you need to be south of White Horse before Memorial Day and after Labor Day. Now, that what that means is, if you think it through, that means don't go up too early and don't stay too long. Otherwise, you're going to be caught in the snows someplace. Hmm. Not the snows in Alaska, because those come later, but in the Yukon, northern BC, those hit. And the last time we were up there, we came back through the Yukon and British Columbia in about the 12th, 13th of September, and we didn't get stopped, but we were in snow. We were driving in snow. So that's the first part of that. The second part of that is, this is going to sound strange, but I say this from now, probably talking to 5,000 or 6,000 people in my seminars on RVing to Alaska and answering emails. I have no idea why, but when people go to Alaska, make the trip up there, RVers now, and come back, they somehow lose their mind. and they start telling things that just aren't true. And, you know, I've had people in my seminars hold their hand up and, you know, and say, hey, you know, I was just up there last year and the roads weren't paved. The roads have been paved since the early 90s.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, now, and they have a thing up there that that probably doesn't happen in where you live in the lower 48, and that's a thing called road construction. and when you run across road construction, also a strange thing happens up there is that they typically don't repair highways, they replace them. And because of the super long work day, you know, 22 hours of sunshine, and because of a short period, summertime is only about 3 months, and they do some intense work up there. So you'll find a construction site like you do down here, you know, and you'll see a sign along the highway that says, hey, you got construction the next, you've seen these, the next 8 miles, the next 12 miles, or whatever, up there, you'll see a sign of road construction ahead the next 40 miles. So they do a lot of intensive work on the highways, trying to keep them as good as they can. The problem they have not solved is the frost heaves. And in my writing, in the books, and in the articles, and on my blog, I talk about where the frost heaves are. They're only in one section of the trip, and what to do about them, and how to handle them, and how to drive over them, how to spot them.
Yeah, for our southern listeners, explain what a frost heave is and why you don't want to run over.
Well, think of a frost heave like somebody build a speed bump across the road. It's just that simple. Some are larger, some are smaller. And what happens is, and this sounds nuts when I say it, but it's accurate, is when you get up far enough north, you're going to be driving on what they call the permafrost. Now, the reason I say that sounds nuts, that means that everything below ground is frozen. Everything. So you've got, think of it like normal, you're on normal highway. You've got normal landscape around you. You've got lakes. You've got hills. You've got trees and so forth. But way down, you don't know how far down, you've got this permanently frozen section of Earth. And that thaws and shifts and refreezes, and it causes little upheavals. I'm not talking earthquake now. I'm just talking about little bumps. Again, like speed bumps. And the highway then fills with it. But again, they're only in a one section. Starts about, as I recall off the top of my head, about 100 miles north of Whitehorse. And then you've got about 100 miles of frosties. And after that, it's good. And before that, it's good. Yep. So when you get to that section, you just simply slow down. I mean, and I explain that fully in my writing.
We'll send people again to those books. We'll put a link right with the show notes for this episode, but which is roadtrekking.com/123 for people looking for links to Ron's books. Ron, you say that you can't get lost driving to Alaska. I've heard people say, "Well, I'm just worried about being up there in the wilderness and getting lost as I go up there." So maybe you could dispel that myth, too, as you have dispelled the myth about unpaved roads.
Well, the reason I say you can't get lost is there's only two routes to Alaska and back. And one's used to be called the Alcan Highway. Pick on the older listeners now. The older ones that will remember the Alcan. But for years now, it's been officially called the Alaska Highway. And that goes out of Dawson Creek and across. The other way up and back is called the Cassiar Highway. And that actually goes due north and south, straight up through British Columbia and up through the middle. And it's the only two ways to get up there and back. I mean, you know, so the joke is, even if you get on the wrong highway, you're going to get where you're started, and you can't get lost. And I don't want to say it's bad news, but you're going to have to go up and back and be on the same highway out of Whitehorse on farther north into Alaska. You'll go through Tok. It's spelled T-O-K, really the first town you hit in Alaska. Tok is even advertised as the town you'll always visit twice because it's the only way in and out.
Okay.
And the driving up there is, I suggest in the book for first-time visitors, go up one route and come back the other. That way you see the most of the most. And especially the Alcan Highway, the old Alcan, now the Alaska Highway, because you're going to see some of the museums along the way on the building of that highway and so forth. It's pretty fascinating.
Talk about some of the things that RVers who want to go to Alaska this summer should be planning right now? What are some of the things that go into that planning phase for that trip to Alaska?
Well, you asked earlier, and I didn't answer, and it relates to this too, about what to take and what to wrap your headlights and whatever. This is going to sound strange, but it's absolutely accurate. I spent three full summers up there in the same motorhome. I had a 42-foot Monaco Dynasty at the time, and your listeners will at least get a feel for the size of that if they're not familiar with the model. But we took that up there and back and towed our car. We took that up there and back the three full summers, and I never had a single rock chip, paint chip, windshield chip, nothing on that. Never. Not even one. And that's because you have to drive according to the conditions. Now that's not a bad thing. That's just slowing down every once in a while when you hit construction zones and some occasional gravel because of construction. But there's a way to cover the tow car so it's protected. You will throw gravel out the back of your motorhome, and it will affect the car. And I write about that and suggest a cover and so forth and how to do it. There's all kinds of people that go for the homemade type of apparatus, and they're going to put screen here and chicken wire there and so forth. Those really don't work very well. Or they're, you know, I equate it to the RVer that wants to mix their own toilet chemicals. There's better ways to do it.
There are people who want to do that, so better, more power to them, but not my way. So what are, in our remaining time here, we talk about planning this thing, and you know we want to be south of White House by Memorial Day, but once we get there, how do we budget those 3 months? And I suppose that's the biggest part of the planning. How would you suggest a rough idea of budgeting those 3 months that you're going to spend in Alaska?
Well, this is a little difficult, but just talking about it, because it's almost a visual thing. If you unfold a big map of Alaska, it's even difficult to do it on a computer, because a computer isn't big enough. Just contact the Alaska Department of Transportation. They'll send you a state, you know, one of the old paper foldy up road maps. Take that thing, open it up on the kitchen table, and look at what I call, now this is my word, I call the mainland of Alaska. And that's that big chunk that holds Anchorage is in the south end of the mainland. Fairbanks is up about a third of the way up. And if you go way on up, you'll hit the Arctic Ocean. That's where you find Prudhoe Bay and the oil companies and Barrow, Alaska, which is one of the northernmost cities in the world. And that mainland is the big area of Alaska that connects with Canada. You need about a month in the mainland. Then go on south, and what you'll see on your map as you're looking is you'll see this, what looks like fairly small area, sort of hanging off the south end of the mainland. And that's what they call the Kenai Peninsula. And the Kenai Peninsula is just wonderful. It's a wonderful area. It contains a number of small towns, small cities. Seward, Soldotna, the town of Kenai is on the Kenai Peninsula, at Homer, which is the southernmost point you can drive on the Kenai. You need about a month on the Kenai. And you need about a month to go up and come back. So that gives you your 3 months, 2 months actually in state, and one up and back.
Well, I'm going to tell people to, one, get those maps, but Ron Jones, our guest, has written 3 books. RVing to Alaska is in its second edition. He's got RVing to Alaska on Your Own, which is, I'm sure, the way he recommends. And then another one, an intriguing one, RVing to Alaska by ferry. And maybe just in our last minute or so here, Ron, you could talk about that part about it. We talked about the drive up. What about RVing to Alaska by ferry?
Let me straighten out the books here just very quickly. If you go on my website, the books are, there's a green cover book called RVing to Alaska, and it's called a second edition. That's a printed book, you know, physically printed on paper, one you can hold in your hand and so forth. secondly,
There's two other books, one called RVing to Alaska on Your Own, and one called RVing to Alaska by Ferry. Those two books are e-books only. And those two books, which have blue covers, those two books equal the green book. So some people don't want books. Some people only want e-books. So I took the green book, the printed book, and broke it down into two books, one non-ferry driving all the way, and one with ferry. Now, on the terms of the ferry, and the ferry information is in the green book, too. So the ferry is just another way to get there. You could either drive up and back. I have driven up and back on one trip. I took the ferry up, drove back a second trip. I drove up, took the ferry back on the third trip. So I've tried it all the ways. You can stop at various ports off the ferry. You can unload your RV and your tow car, stay a few days, like we stayed, I think, 5-6 days in Juneau, a few days in Skagway. We've stayed in various ports. And just another way to do it and to see parts of Alaska that you couldn't see by just driving.
Well, Ron Jones, you have been a wealth of information, and I'm going to send folks to your books as well as your blog about RVing.com. Besides Alaska, Ron has written about RVing to Newfoundland, about the best RV trips in America and in North America, all the stuff you need to know about RVing. And Ron, we're going to have you back on the show later in the year as well, and we'll talk about some more of these trips. But Alaska or bust. And you're going to make it happen for us and a lot of our listeners. Thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and appreciate the opportunity to get the word out.
Isn't he a great guy? Ron Jones, like I say, he probably knows more about RVing to Alaska than anybody else you'll find in the RV industry or anyone around. Ron's a full-timer. He's been there, and he's got some great resources, and we thank him for being on the program this week. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you each and every week here at the Road Trekking Lifestyle Podcast by Sunshine State RVs, where every new or used road trek motorhome is delivered to the customer's driveway free anywhere in the country. At Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida. We were just down there a couple of weeks ago and visited with the folks there. Really enjoyed our time. You'll find the largest selection of some of the best Class Bs in the United States of America. If you're looking for a Class B RV, you need to make a trip to sunny Florida. You can call them on phone or get them on the internet as well, but their RVs are in great shape. They come from across the country. They have the most popular brands. They sell brand new road treks as well as used ones. They sell some used Pleasureways, Winnebagos, leisure travel vans, and more. You just will not find a wider selection of used RVs anywhere. And every RV they sell has been through a very thorough 172-point inspection. They ensure that all the mechanical, all the manual systems, top shape. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way it should. They go over the interior components. They check every single component. It's turned on, it's tested to make sure it works. They're thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out. I even saw them re-pinstriking some of these RVs that they sell. They even check the roof for cracks and replace any silicone cracking, caulking up there. You can be sure you're getting absolutely the best in refurbished used RVs from Sunshine State RVs. Here's Nick to tell us what the specials are this week. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Hey, Mike, thank you. This is Nick with Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville. We're the largest inventory of used Class B RVs anywhere in the country. And right about now, with 75-degree weather and sunny, it's worth coming from all over the country to Florida. In the last week or so, we've gotten in a 2005 Road Trek 210 Popular, 2004 Pleasureway Excel, and the 2005 Airstream Interstate. These are just a few of the used Class B RVs we've gotten in the last week or so. Our inventory of new road treks is growing as well. We just got in a Simplicity, a Zion, and we have the only 4x4 e-trek in the country. It's beautiful. Here at Sunshine State RVs, we have no dealer fees. We give a 90-day warranty with every single used RV we sell. And if you mention you heard us here on the Road Trekking Podcast, you get free delivery anywhere in the country. We're heading to the Tampa RV Super Show tomorrow. Hopefully see some of the new products that have coming out. If you're coming down to Florida, make sure to stop in and see us. If you're heading down to the RV show, message us on Facebook, email us, let us know you're there. We'd love to meet up with you and get to know you guys. Visit our website, sunshinestaterv.com, to check everything out. Thank you.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Well, it's happened again out at Zion National Park. There has been a major rock slide, and this one has closed about 2 miles of that scenic drive that leads you inside Zion National Park. Nobody injured in this, but officials say that Zion Scenic Drive is impassable. From just north of the Zion Lodge there, and it's going to remain closed for some time. They don't know when it's going to reopen. Park officials say this slide occurred last Friday, covering both lanes of the road with about 200 tons of massive boulders and debris that stretch about 4 car lengths. Emergency crews had to use a shuttle bus to transport stranded motorists out of the park on Friday evening. Park officials say workers and geologists are going to have to wait until the area dries out a little bit and assess the damage before they can remove the debris and start to reopen the road. Visitors should expect very crowded road conditions and parking through the weekend and beyond that. And there's also been some other landslides that have closed a couple of popular trails in the park. So check Zion National Park. You can go to their website, and they'll let you know exactly what's open and how they're doing and clearing out that latest rock slide. But no one hurt. But I looked at the picture of it, and it was pretty massive, and it totally shut down the scenic drive there. All right, switching to Florida, officials say they've got a pretty good case against a Tampa area owner of an RV consignment business. They've arrested him for defrauding customers. You know, I talk a lot about the downside of trying to sell your RV on consignment. Now, the vast majority of folks who do this are reputable, are honest. But it seems a couple, 3 times a year we hear stories like this. The operator of a RV consignment business arrested last week after the Pinellas County Sheriff's Department said he defrauded several customers who had placed their RVs on consignment with his business. The sheriff's office identified the guy's 39-year-old Jeremy Rainey of Consignment RV, and they claim he intentionally defrauded multiple clients for RV transaction sales. He collected money from both the buyers and the sellers, and then he never paid off the loans, as he said he was going to do. Detectives began investigating after one of the victims came forward in September. They say he conducted this scheme from June to October of 2016. They have 5 victims that they have found for a total financial loss of about $180,000. Business has been shut down. He's arrested on felony charges and booked in jail, released on $50,000 bond, and that'll go to trial later on. And another big story in the RV news, good news story, this one from New York State. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo proposing to complete and connect 2 greenway trails that crisscross the state. They'll start in downtown New York City in Manhattan, and it'll go up to the Canadian border from Albany to Buffalo, and it will create a 750-mile paved biking and hiking route that will be marketed as a national tourist destination. Obviously, there's lots of places to camp up and along this thing, but a 750-mile paved biking and hiking route. They want to build the largest multi-use trail like this in the nation, and they're going to spend $200 million over 3 years to pave 350 miles of gaps in this existing greenways that they have and then connect them. They're going to call it the Empire State Trail. It will incorporate the existing Erie Canal Way, the Hudson River Valley Greenway, State Bike Route 9 that runs along Lake Champlain to Canada. That will complete this trail from Manhattan, bringing in, they think, millions of dollars in revenue to their surrounding communities. That's good news. Lots of RV opportunities, some beautiful country, and that would be a lot of fun. Bring your bikes and see what you can see. Hey, links to all of these on the show notes page for this episode, roadtrekking.com/123. This portion of the podcast brought to you by Alde, A-L-D-E. That's the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Alde Hydronic System brings so many features and benefits that you can't find in any other RV heating system. For one thing, it is a silent and a radiant heat. It provides a warm, even, natural heated interior. It's great for pets, has increased interior space because it's essentially combining two systems in one, your hot water system and your heating system. It's efficient. I mean, the whole system draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC. It will extend the life of your propane roughly 40% over forced air. You can heat with there's multiple options you can add to this heat. The one that Jennifer and I have, and boy, we will use it this weekend when we are up camping in the snow in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in our big annual camp out there. And that is our all-day floor heat, heated floors. Not only is the inside nice and comfy, cozy, warm, the floors are heated. You can walk around in the middle of the wintertime barefoot, and that is really a nice feature. I love the heat that the Alde system gives. It's that it's not a dry heat. You know, if you've been in an RV where the heat has been running for a while, it is so dry. It's also so noisy. This is silent. It's like that heat you get in a high-end estate-type home. That's what that hydronic system is. Alde, A-L-D-E. It's pronounced Alde. It is the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. They're available now on many different RV models from different manufacturers.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
Well, severe weather has hit much of the nation, and it causes us all to think about what we need to do to be prepared for it, whether we're in our RV, whether we're home, whether we're on the road. Checking in with us with some tips for that is our pal from Verizon Wireless, Steve Van Dinter. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mike. This past week's ice storm wreaked havoc across much of the central United States, leaving accidents and power outages in its wake. Now, preparation isn't something a lot of us feel we have time for, but it's moments like these that it truly pays off. For instance, did you know that Verizon's network is built with redundancies and battery backups to ensure you can stay connected? Everything from the individual cell towers to the switching centers that route all your calls, text, and data. Now, you too can take steps to be prepared for any type of severe weather. Simply store your phones, tablets, batteries, chargers, and other equipment in a dry, accessible location. Ziploc storage bags will do the trick, or you can look into waterproof phones themselves, cases, or other protective accessories. You want to keep your phone and tablets fully charged in case local power is lost and well before warnings are issued. You also want to have on hand additional batteries and car chargers available for backup power. A nice variety, including solar powered devices, makes it easy to stay powered up. Now, also, you want to have a list of emergency numbers, police and fire agencies, power and insurance companies, family, friends, and coworkers, you get it, and program those into your phone before an emergency arises. Use your tablet to photograph and catalog your valuables and other household belongings for possible insurance claims. And also make sure to look into the hundreds of free weather, news, and safety-related apps and services for smartphones and tablets. In particular, I like the American Red Cross app, Weather Underground, and NOAA Now. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
And we'll put links to those apps that Steve just recommended on the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/123. Traveling tech tips brought to you each week by Verizon Wireless. They operate America's most reliable wireless network. They are the official wireless provider for the Road Trekking RV podcast. I use Verizon exclusively for my computer, for my data card, for my iPhone, and for my iPads. And that's how Jennifer, and same with Jennifer, we picked Verizon, and we, by the way, pay our own phone bill. I should tell you that. We pay our own phone bill. All my own data charges, we rack them up on our own devices, and Verizon is our choice, whether they're a sponsor or not. And the reason we chose them is because they have the single best network, we believe, that you'll find anywhere in North America. And it's not just us saying that. I mean, they consistently, in multiple tests, year after year, rank number one in network quality performance, in network performance satisfaction, and in overall network performance. Can your network say that? If you are stuck on the wrong network, head over to Verizon and get yourselves unstuck.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, we are smack dab, as we've been saying, in the middle of the RV show season across North America. There's RV shows and demonstrations everywhere, it seems. This weekend, there is a bunch of them, so listen up. We'll put links again on the show notes for this episode. But the big one is probably, if it's not the biggest show in the country, it is tied with Hershey, Pennsylvania for being that. And this is down in Tampa, Florida this weekend. It opens Wednesday, the 18th, January 18th. The Florida RV Super Show runs through the 22nd of January. It's at the Florida State Campground or Fairgrounds. You can camp there, by the way, during the show. At the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa, Florida, the RV Florida RV Super Show. It is a huge show, and there'll be lots of RV news coming out of that show next week. Okay, other shows around the country. If you can't get to Tampa, how about Spokane, Washington for the Inland Northwest RV Show, January 19th through the 22nd at the Spokane County Fair and Expo Center. Also in that part of the country, in Tacoma, Washington, the Tacoma RV Show, January 19th to the 22nd at the Tacoma Dome. Down in Texas, y'all, at the Austin is the big Austin Boat and Travel Trailer Show, January 19th through the 22nd at the Austin Convention Center. For our friends up in Canada, this is also the big weekend for the Toronto RV Show and Sale, January 19th through the 22nd at the Toronto Congress Center in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. In the East Coast, Hartford, Connecticut is a site for the Northeast RV and Camping Show, January 20th through the 22nd at the Connecticut Convention Center in Hartford. Down south, Chattanooga, Tennessee, the Chattanooga RV Show at the Chattanooga Convention Center, and that is January 20th through the 22nd. And we've got one more. This one out on the east in New Jersey at the Edison, New Jersey Convention Center, New Jersey Convention Center there in Edison. The New Jersey RV and Camping Show, January 20th through the 22nd. Again, links to all of these and future RV shows around North America. You'll find it in the show notes, show notes page for this episode, roadtrekking.com/123.
America in a Class B motor home. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking.
Indeed we will. And looking forward to seeing a whole bunch of you. Jennifer and I and Bo will be up in Taquamenon Falls in the snow-covered north woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula this weekend for our road trekking show. We will have some Facebook Live videos. We'll have one Friday afternoon, Friday night, and one on Saturday. We'll link to those on our road trekking Facebook group page. We'll tell you what time they're there, and all you do is tune into the Facebook group at about that time, and you can watch it live and interact with us, and we'll have a lot of fun. We'll show you all the fun we're doing up there. Oh my gosh, we got dog sled teams that'll be doing dog sled races and rides for us. We've got snowshoeing and hiking and lots of big fire time around the campfires. It's going to be a great weekend. We always love it. This is the biggest one yet, filling up the whole park. That's how many people want to go camping in the wintertime. It's just a lot of fun. So check out the Road Trekking group, and we'll have a whole bunch more in the podcast on that next week. And we'll have pictures up on the blog, roadtrekking.com. Hey, I want to thank you for listening to this. New episodes of the podcast come out every Wednesday morning. You can join our mailing list. We send out a special newsletter to subscribers absolutely free every Monday morning. You can sign up from the roadtrekking.com blog when you do that. Till next time, I'm Mike Wendland. We'll see you road trekking across North America. So long, everybody.